shifts the fabric and families the thread. And faith is the ragged old quilt on your bed. And fairness the pattern we're trying to rebuild. And forgiveness is knowing we're learning to sow our own.
I was once an orphan, then God found me in your family. I know my granny had faith, I ask her she'll handle me. Copied me in 60, yeah, that was a gamble. How much it seemed, we always had ample eats. Her love used to cover me just like a canopy. She was my guiding light just like a candle be. Took me in at night, then come back just to glance at me. Her bet paid off, I'm so glad she took a chance on me. Mama, I made this simply because you chose to plant a seed. I forgive you when you made me wear them pants and cleats. Now I'm your Grammys on red carpets where the cameras be. Ask out for tucks, yeah, son, you would've had to see. You would've been proud of me, I know you never doubted me. Never harsh, hardly ever chose to shout at me. Didn't matter though, cause I didn't listen, but you still show me love and forgiveness, now I get it. I dedicate this song to Purdy. She's no longer here. She lives on through me. I'm her legacy. Still I rise.
That was The Quilt by Saul Paul featuring Red Yarn from a release called Be the Change. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and today on the show, we're exploring folk art. Our kids crew went to the Santa Fe International Folk Art Market this summer, where we're learning what folk art is all about from the artisans themselves. Let's join Joe at the stage.
We're listening to some singers from Croatia who are up on the stage right now. So another one of the booths has an assortment of pots in all different shapes and sizes.
My name is Ncamsile Nala. I'm from South Africa in a place called KwaZulu-Natal, and I'm from the Zulu tribe.
When did you start making this art?
I started when I was, I think, 26, but I never really got into it until last year. That's when I started to make serious pottery and I was in it.
How do you make it with all the designs and stuff?
Okay, so the first thing is to dig clay from a clay mine. It's called red clay. And then we sift the clay after we've grinded it into a powdery texture. And then we take the stones out and then we soak it in water overnight. And then we knead it like you would with flour when you're making bread. And then we start making coils. And then we coil the pot until it's complete. And then we shape it. And then after it's dry enough to handle, we take a sharp instrument and then we start making incisions on the pot, drawing patterns. And then after that, we throw it in the fire, straight into the fire. And then it comes out and then we put shoe polish on it to make it shiny.
Can you tell me the stories behind some of the pots?
Okay, the designs on the pots have some meaning, like these, for instance, the little bumps. These are called amasumba. And these were used to calculate a person's wealth. So everything he had would be a dot. If he had a cow, that would be one dot. If he had two wives, that would be two dots, and so forth.
Wow. What are the meanings of all the triangles?
The triangles are for decorative purposes to make the pot look more pretty and also to help you carry the pot so it doesn't slip out of your hand.
Can you tell me your name?
Maya.
Can you tell me what type of art you do?
So we are bringing this basketry story from the birthplace of Buddha. So these women have been doing this basketry work since generations, but they are not being able to take these out of their houses and all. So we are trying to reimagine the objects that we see around with the objects that they have been weaving since like generations. I'll show you some of the like patterns. For example, these you could see like step-like patterns and all. So here we are like dreaming of the Buddha story of from his birth to the enlightenment period. So we call this journey baskets. The women we are working with used to weave these big wedding baskets, and the bride used to take this as a dowry and then to store their valuables like clothes or ornaments and things like that, and then hung on the wall. So these are the stories that we are carrying from our community and bringing in here in Santa Fe for the first time.
That is awesome. So how long does it take to make like one of these?
So it depends on the like designs or motifs, and you know, so since these are the traditional coiling method, we call it, it takes like hours and hours to make the basket. For example, it takes one like of this small size takes 10 days to complete. The bigger ones, it would take like from 10 days to a year. Now we are trying to link this culture with the income generation thing. So this is more like empowering them financially also.
How else do you think it empowers like women?
They have been weaving these unconsciously for their like, you know, household utilities and things.
Yeah.
But using those, their own, you know, inherited skills, now they are being able to make money out of this with the same skill and with the same material, with the same like their imagination. So that makes them like feel empowered while also retaining their culture.
Yeah, that is so awesome. Thank you so much. I love how like each piece has like a story behind it. That is so cool.
As I said, these are not the only the like, you know, baskets, but each of them carry my community's stories and then my like country's stories, and then
So folk art can provide opportunities to earn a living in addition to carrying on a community's story through art. Baskets that take a year to weave, intricately carved bowls. Folk art includes many types of art. Today on the Children's Hour, we're learning about folk art, and we'll be back at the Santa Fe International Folk Art Market right after this. From Place of Hope, this is a Zulu chant. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today on the show, we're learning about folk art. This past July, we sent some of our kids' crew into the Santa Fe International Folk Art Market to meet artisans and find out firsthand what folk art is. Find our Learn Along guide for this episode at childrenshour.org. Look for folk art. Let's catch up with Joe at the market.
Another one of these stands holds tables that have models of these beautiful buildings. They look like almost palaces. But they're very small. They're only like an inch or two high. Let's go and talk to the people inside.
Hello, my name is Emilka. I'm from Poland, from Krakow. We have our nativity scene called Szopka. They're inspired by architecture of our city.
How do you make them?
We make them with cardboard, some wood, and aluminium foil. My favorite part of Szopka, I think, it's making figures. I have my own idea how to do this. I use aluminium foil only. We have competition in our city in December. We show our Szopki and commission decide which one is the beautiest one.
How long has your family been making them?
In my family, it started from my grandfather, and he teach my mom, and her touch me.
Me llamo Claudio Jiménez Quispe, vengo de Peru, hago los retablos ayacuchanos.
He's from the upper lands of Peru.
Estos retablos es de origen español. Llegaron los, trajeron los españoles la fe cristiana con el nombre de los santeros, porque en el interior había los santos, vírgenes, para catequizar a los incas de esa época. Sí. Y que posteriormente, en la época colonial, estos santos se convierten en retablo que se llama San Marcos.
So he makes retablos. That was the name given when the Spanish conquistadores came and brought the Catholic faith to los Incas. Before, they had, of course, their traditional symbols and religion. And this one is called the San Marcos retablo.
Y San Marcos tiene dos niveles, de dos pisos. Parte arriba representa a los santos patrones de los ganados de esa época colonial. Y parte, primer piso, representa la herranza, fiesta de los ganados. Sí. Y ese es San Marcos.
And there's two levels of it. The saints are on the top level, and then down below are all of the things of nature that would have been part of the Incan traditional spiritual way.
So a lot of the pieces, they're small. They have a lot of these cabinet doors and they open to these scenes. Some of them have religious figures as well as like skeletons and nature, fish. And then if you go over, there's also some masks that are designed. And they also have smaller sculptures of like animals. Yeah, it's very colorful.
A partir de 1970, mi padre Florentino Jiménez, que era uno de los grandes maestros en los retablos, a través de él yo aprendí. Él cambió el temática de la historia y tiene monumento en Perú, en parte zona de Ayacucho, en el Ministerio de Cultura. Tiene diplomas, gracias a él yo también me esforcé a estudiar un poco de arte. Tengo condecoraciones de ser artista por el Congreso de la República del Perú.
His father was an internationally famous and recognized retabloista. And he has like awards and a monument to him near Ayacucho or in the state of Ayacucho. And with that, he luckily got to also do this field and be educated.
Well, thank you.
De nada.
Gracias.
In another booth that we pass, there's so many shoes. They're full of colors and patterns.
My name is George Kwamiba. I'm originally from Ghana, but we live in Texas now.
Your shoes are beautiful. When did you start making them?
I started making shoes when I was 7 years old, but not as a business, as a way to help my parents. But fast forward, when I came to the US during 2011, we started making it as a business.
How do you make them?
So we make them first by woven the kente. So I have 10, or no, so about 20 people that do the woving. We wove the cotton, and then once we wove it, we cut it paired with something we call shoe last. It's a mold that, based on that mold, I use to form the shoe, and then we sew them together. I think folk art is something that have a tradition to it that can go back from 200 years behind. But it can also be re-innovated with new meanings to it. So the kente is a tradition that goes back to thousands of years. But the way I make the shoe is a re-innovation of the kente.
Re-innovation of a 1,000-plus-year-old tradition? Now that sounds like folk art. We're learning about folk art on the Children's Hour, and we have more to come. This is Green Chili Jam Band.
With her hands, paint with sand. And Jolie draws a green line thin, and then she splatters it with yellow. Again and again and again. Eddie's into paper mache, and Julia's writing a play. But Joe just kind of stares into space, where he gets his best ideas. Just look at the size of the grin, it's wrapped around his face. But you create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own day. Hector shapes the clay with his feet. Louise thinks Hector's neat. But she persuades the clay with her thumbs, and then she gives her clay to Rita, who bakes it while she hums. But you create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own song. He makes it up as he goes along. And Lily gathers rags and weeds, and then she weaves them all together to make her tapestry. But you create your own way. You create your own way. You create your own.
Harris from Picasso, that's who, and so can you. And in the background, we've got Crowander. Lots more on folk art coming right up.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for the Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the New Mexico Children's Foundation. You can keep up with the Children's Hour by signing up for our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.